with information on the latest developments in assistive technology. From the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. I'm Peter Worthington. The enabling technology we cover in today's session relates to an assistive device which is being relied upon, unfortunately, by an increasing number of people in developed countries, the wheelchair. The Australian Bureau of Statistics has quoted rather alarmingly that 20% of Australians have a disability. Yes, one in five. Of these, it was estimated that more than 1.2 million people, or 6.3% of the Australian population, experience disabilities with a profound or severe core activity limitation. That is, they either always or sometimes need assistance with self-care, mobility, or communications. And while we don't have the statistics, a good many of these are totally dependent on using a wheelchair, but are so disabled that they are incapable of operating it themselves. People with locked-in syndrome, for example, are mentally alert but unable to move or speak, and therefore communicate. This locked-in state can be caused by a serious stroke, spinal or brain trauma, motor neuron disease, or even an overdose of medication. Around the world, great minds are applying themselves to solutions for these wheelchair users. We've heard in an earlier AbleQuest episode of a technology called NeuroSwitch, developed by an Australian, Peter Ford. NeuroSwitch has the capability of allowing profoundly disabled people to control their wheelchairs via the electrical impulses in muscles, even when the muscles appear inert. At the University of Technology Sydney Centre for Health Technologies, Dr. Jordan Nguyen is working on a different approach. A semi-autonomous wheelchair system which will allow severely disabled people to control their chairs using only the power of their minds and some head movement. Let's hear more about this innovation direct from the inventor. Nikki Lindemann spoke to Dr. Nguyen to get some background and an explanation of how this wheelchair system works.
Thanks for being with us today, Jordan, on AbleQuest. I may call you Jordan, I assume.
Yes, that's good.
Good. I understand the development of this technology that has been brought to our attention started out as a kind of a father and son team thing. Do tell us a little bit about the genesis of your smart wheelchair and how it came about that you worked on this with your father.
My dad is the Dean of the Faculty of Engineering and IT at the University of Technology in Sydney. And although I never thought I was really going to follow in his footsteps, I guess biomedical engineering and that whole side of engineering really sort of attracted me to these sort of projects, to realise that I could possibly work on devices that might be able to impact on people's lives in a positive way. So he's been working on biomedical projects for years now. So I really sort of ended up following in his footsteps and being drawn to this sort of project with him because I wanted to develop a wheelchair and a smart wheelchair at that. And this all came from a personal life-changing experience, but that really brought us together, yeah.
Tell us, yes, that was going to be my next question. Tell us a little bit about that personal reason that you had, what happened to you to sort of really bring this to the fore.
Yeah, it was one of those sort of silly things that young guys do. I was at a backyard pool party and I was diving into this pool all afternoon. And we had a diving board, a really small diving board. The board ended up coming loose on one of my dives when I was diving off it.
So it broke?
It was just not very held down very well. So, yeah, it moved back as I dived off it. And I went into the pool coming back towards the wall and didn't know which direction I was going in until my head hit the bottom of the pool. Mm. So I got very lucky. I didn't break my neck, but I got stuck in bed for an entire day, not even being able to roll over because I did some damage to the muscles in my neck. Yeah, I really got to experience what life can be like when, you know, you're not able to get up and move around as freely as you'd like. And that really sort of changed my life and changed my perspective on life as well.
We should probably mention here to our listeners that Jordan, in spite of having a PhD and doing all this wonderful research, is actually only 27 years old and very impressive, all the work he's done. I saw a photo of you test driving the wheelchair. How much testing have you done and what types of wheelchair users have you tested it on? And can you tell us a little bit about perhaps who participated in these tests, perhaps a personal story or two?
Yep. Okay. So firstly, I mean, I've tested it myself plenty of times, obviously, and all the time that I was developing it. And I found out that after the first few years of working on it, I was the only person who had tested it. And I'd sort of developed it for myself, sort of how I thought it should work. And with the guidance of my father too, we sort of developed it the way we thought it could work. And then upon speaking to people who would be potential users, completely changed my perspective on how it should look and feel and what sort of processes should be used. So when I got to the trials, I ended up trialing it on about 20 people. It was 20 people, and most of them my friends. I just got different friends from the university, and there were a lot of people who were ready to try it. And so I trialed on about 16 able-bodied before moving to different people with various physical disabilities. And the highest level I got to was a friend of mine. He's C6, C7, tetraplegic. So he has movement to his arms, not a lot from the arms down, but he doesn't have a lot of finger dexterity either. So he's a wheelchair user, and he was someone who could really give us a lot of insight into what could be changed, what could be done to make it a lot more easy to use. And his personal story is he had a motorbike accident around about 3.5 years ago, which left him in this condition. It was from a spinal cord injury.
Right.
And he's a young guy studying engineering, and I didn't have to work back too far to realise that, you know, he had done that not long before the HSE and still went through and managed to get his life back on track. So he's a very inspiring guy, and it was great to have him help out with the project.
It must have given him something too. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Can I just ask you a question? I've got some experience working with people with cerebral palsy.
Yep.
The spasming, would that affect the efficacy of your machine if someone who had spasms were to use it?
Or? Yeah, it would.
So it would have to be someone still.
Yeah, I think this comes into what sort of markets we're looking at.
Yeah.
This particular wheelchair design, I named this one Tim. Tim stands for Thought-Controlled Intelligent Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Tim is a wheelchair that was sort of more designed for people with locked-in syndrome.
Right.
So that was the area I was going for. If you can't move and you can't communicate, then using brain signals is a last resort sort of thing. So we've got different control technologies to be able to control Tim through other methods, but everyone is individual, and everyone's level of control or communication is different as well.
So you've got to customise the control.
Yeah, exactly. And so for a thought control system, it's not something that you can pick up over, you know, movement or communication, other forms. It's something that's very specific, and I would only use it if you didn't have those.
Mm-hmm. Wheelchairs can, of course, as we all know, be extremely expensive pieces of equipment. Do you, at this point in time, do you have an idea of what the cost might be?
Yep, because the wheelchairs, you know, again, it's another personal thing. You want to have your custom wheelchair, but you want to be able to put any of these sort of systems along with it. So it's not a complete wheelchair system. We're trying to make, in general, a sort of a panel that can connect to the wheelchair and turn the wheelchair into a smart wheelchair as well as give the new control technologies. So I guess that's why we were sort of targeting these areas, being able to help the people who don't have control over current wheelchair technologies. And so in terms of pricing and commercialization, I think we were looking at just a couple of $1,000s for the entire system, that not including the wheelchair, that connects to the wheelchair and turns it into this smart wheelchair system. It's something we want to make very accessible.
Yes, that sounds quite reasonable in terms of the cost of an actual wheelchair, a custom wheelchair. Do you know of anyone else developing this kind of technology or having this kind of approach?
There's plenty of people all over the world working on thought control technology. I guess when it comes to thought control technology, there's a lot of invasive technologies, and they're the things that, you know, I don't really believe we should be working on as such. I guess they do have their own merits, but if they can basically open up the skull, put 100 electrodes on the brain, they can pick up on a much stronger signal off the brain.
Mm.
So there have been these things developed where they can then control with a lot more forms of control and a lot more dexterity in the control.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to control things like wheelchairs and the mouse for a computer and that sort of thing, there's a lot of research. It's a very crowded area. Where ours comes in as, you know, the advantages, it's a very sort of simple system. It's a quick and easy setup. We use a completely non-invasive approach, so it's just a couple of electrodes. We pick up on the electrical activity of the brain off the scalp, so you can basically conceal this system with a headband or a hat, and it's a very simple sort of setup, so it's only about a 5 to 10 minute setup, and that way it takes the electrical activity off the scalp rather than any invasive technologies.
Okay, that sounds good, nice and gentle. Can you give us a little bit of an overview of what kind of thoughts people are supposed to have or are trained to have to move the chair forward and backward?
Firstly, again, it's not just the thoughts that come into it. So for this one, the wheelchair itself is a smart wheelchair, so it can see and think for itself using cameras. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that helps the person, because when you're sitting there focusing constantly on the different thoughts, you can get tired very quickly. Mm. But this one, you only have to basically give it commands when you want to change directions. So to control the screen in front of you, the general idea with Tim's smart wheelchair is that we have a screen in front of the user. They can control this screen and select commands for which directions they would like to move in. So the sort of thoughts that we use it by association. We use pure thoughts rather than muscle signals. So muscle signals are when you basically think about moving, say, your right arm and don't actually move it. That still sends out the muscle signals, and that's what some people pick up on. Our one goes off purely thoughts, and we do things like we have a list of different thoughts that you can choose from, and things like imagine a Rubik's Cube and imagine mm-hmm. it rotating. Mm-hmm. If you can always put that Rubik's Cube on the right side of you in your mind, then every time you think about that Rubik's Cube, you'll move a selection to the right on the screen. Mm-hmm. So that's the sort of general idea. The person can choose from a list of different thoughts. And the other thing that we tend to use is opening and closing of the eyes. So a part of the occipital lobe, which is at the back of the head, we pick up on the alpha waves. We look at the alpha waves, which are a specific frequency. And these tend to light up when the person's eyes are closed. And about 97% of people exhibit this. So it's a very easy to see and accurate response.
Fantastic.
So we use that to select things.
Seems so simple, doesn't it? And what next? Once you have the wheelchair in production, and what in relation to the market and the commercialisation? I know you touched on this earlier, but give us a little bit more background.
Yep. In terms of what we want to do next, I think not only are we looking at mobility, but being able to adapt this into communication and entertainment. So again, this initial design is for those who struggle with communication as well. So this will be able to be a new form of communication, seeing as they have the control panel in front of them. They can actually bring up the keyboard, be able to write letters, write emails, go on the internet, control things in their home mm-hmm. is also an important thing, to be able to control the lighting, the TV, radio, whatever you like in the home. So we're adapting it towards those, and then also moving it into new technologies, being able to design the next steps of various biomedical technologies. It's not just going to stay with this, but this is definitely our first point of call. And I have quite a few contacts at the Cerebral Palsy Alliance, actually.
Right.
And so, although this one wasn't designed specifically for people with cerebral palsy, I'm actually looking to do a lot more work with them to develop new technologies that would be able to help people with CP.
Fabulous. Mm. Fabulous. And any idea, roughly, of when it might be available on the market?
Oh, that's a very tough question.
I thought it might be.
Yeah, I think it's all going to be based on when we can get this company up and started, because we're in the process of looking for funding and investment mm-hmm. and trying to get the company, which is currently sort of being referred to as Aviator, trying to get that underway. And so I guess it will depend on what sort of funding we can bring in, what sort of investment we can get. Anywhere between 1 and 5 years, we'll have something working. The sooner we get funding, the sooner we can get products out there.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yeah. So finally, for our listeners who wish to make further inquiries, what's mm-hmm. it got a website? Where would you direct them?
You can Google UTS and Aviator. That's a good start. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, going to the UTS website, which is just www.uts.edu.au, mm-hmm. and you should be able to find information about the research there, as well as being able to get in contact with Professor Hong Nguyen, who's the Dean of the Faculty of Engineering and IT.
And happens to be your father.
Happens to be my father.
Wonderful. Okay, look, Jordan, that's fascinating. And perhaps down the track, we may be back to you with an update for our listeners on AbleQuest.
That'd be fantastic.
Thanks for your contribution.
Great, thank you.
That was Dr. Jordan Nguyen, co-developer of the smart wheelchair branded Aviator, speaking with Nikki Lindemann. More information on the work being done by Jordan and his father, Professor Hong Nguyen, UTS Dean of Engineering and Information Technology, can be found at the UTS website, www.uts.edu.au. You've just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. Thank you for listening, and goodbye till our next program.